In the heart of the Sun Darbins, where mangrove timbers rumored secrets to the runs and showers painted poetry in the skies, lived a youthful woman named Mira. She had grown up in a small ville where every life was tied to the swash, and every prayer ended with regard at the sky, asking for rain or its mercy. Mira was known not only for her quiet beauty, but for her strange love for water. She'd sit for hours at the edge of the swash, watching driblets form on leaves, hearkening to the lullabies of flowing aqueducts. Children teased her, calling her Jolarani, the queen of water, but she smiled, knowing there was commodity in water that spoke to her soul in a language no bone differently sounded to understand. She lived with her grandmother, Amu, in a humble complexion house with a drum roof and jasmine growing by the window. Amu frequently advised her, "Water can give life, Mira, but it can also take it. Do not fall in love with it blindly." Mira would laugh. "How can I not love commodity that reflects the sky?" But Amu's words held weight. Numerous lives in their villa had been swept down by cataracts or turned bitter by famines. Water was sacred, yet dangerous, a gift wrapped in threat. One summer, a failure struck. The swash shrank. Its bed cracked like parched skin. The ville suffered. Fields browned, creatures failed, and people began to leave. And also came Arif. He was an environmental mastermind from Dhaka, transferred by a non-profit association to help the townies find sustainable water sources. Altitudinous, with violent eyes and a quiet, determined address, Arif arrived like an answered prayer. The townies viewed him with a blend of stopgap and dubitation. He was a stranger, after all, but he got to work, digging tube wells, testing soil, and speaking to elders. Mira first saw him as he stood by the dying swash, holding a clipboard and lowering at its shallow depths. She watched him from a distance, curious. He didn't just look at the swash, he sounded to hear to it. The coming day, they met duly. She was collecting water from the last working hand pump when Arif approached, precisely polite. "You live hard." "Yes," she said. "The jasmine house." He jounced. "I've noticed the flowers. They still bloom, despite the blankness." "They're stubborn," she smiled, "like people." That was the morning. Arif started visiting her house more frequently, under the pretense of asking about original water patterns. Amu was cautious at first, but Arif's respectfulness sluggishly earned her blessing. One autumn, when the sky was heavy with shadows that teased but no way wept, Mira showed Arif her favorite place, a secret copse by the swash bend where the water, indeed in failure, still luster blue. "How does it stay so alive?" Arif asked. Mira signed. "Some corridor of nature are like hearts. They keep beating indeed when the world forgets them." Arif looked at her also, longer than he should have, and commodity shifted. Over the following weeks, their connection strengthened. They spoke about rain and gutters, dreams and springtime. He told her about his megacity life, the cold fustiness of concrete structures and breathless meetings. She told him about the way the thunderstorm made her feel like the sky was crying with joy. One day, they stood in the copse as thunder rolled in the distance. Arif reached out and gently touched a drop of water, resting on a splint. "It's perfect," he said. Mira rumored, "It's alive." Their hands brushed. Neither moved down. But love, like water, no way flows without resistance. The first resistance came from Amu. "He's not from then," she advised. "His roots are in the megacity. Men like him do and stay." Mira protested. "He listens to the swash. He understands." "Understanding doesn't promise staying," Amu said sprucely. "Duent, let your heart dry up when he leaves." Mira said nothing. But that night, as rain eventually came in a soft mizzle, she stood outdoors, letting the drops kiss her skin, hoping that Arif was standing under the same sky. In the following days, the ville bloomed again. The water systems Arif helped make began to work. People smiled more. Arif blazoned he'd stay another month. Hope bloomed in Myra's casket. One night, under a moonlight soft as revealed milk, Arif set up Mira by the copse again. "I'm supposed to leave in a many weeks," he said still. "I know. But I don't want to," he added. Myra's heart skipped. "I've been offered an endless part then. I'd have to live in the ville. I'd be far from the megacity, from my family, from my musketeers, and from comfort, she said, finishing a study. He looked at her. But close to you. Myra's eyes welled up. Say commodity, Arif rumored. Stay, she said, slightly breathing. Just stay. Arif stayed. The Vill ate the news with conservative sanguinity, and Myra was silent, overflowing joy. She didn't dance or roar, but her eyes sparkled lustrously, and her jasmine flowers sounded to bloom doubly as wide. Arif moved into a small house near the academy and began holding sessions to educate townies about sustainable husbandry and water conservation. He was no longer a stranger. He came one of them. And with every passing day, Myra and Arif grew near. They walked to the swash every evening. Occasionally, they talked about water situations and filtration systems. Occasionally, they spoke of stars and silly nonage stories. But frequently, they simply walked in silence, hands brushing, hearts full. Their love grew gently, like rain, fed rice. Not rushed, not loud, but deeply embedded. One night, as fireflies lit the timber path, Arif gave Myra a small tableware charm. Outside, a single drop of clear resin boxed a dry jasmine petal. It's not a diamond, he said, half shy, but it's ours. Myra touched it appreciatively. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever possessed. Amu, watching from the doorway, said nothing, but Myra could see the conflict in her grandmother's eyes, the pull between joy for her granddaughter and fear of loss. Also came the letter. A government design in the north had requested Arif's moxie. Commodity critical, commodity big. He was the only one good. They wanted him for 6 months. Just six, he told Myra the same evening. Her face fell. I allowed you chose to stay, she said still. I did. I still do. But this is temporary. I'll come back, Myra. People say that, she muttered. The swash says it too. Ahead it disappears in summer. Arif stepped closer. You suppose I'm like the swash? I do it know, she rumored. I only know how it feels when it leaves. He held her hand. I'm not leaving you. I'm just going down for a while. For a reason. And what about me? You'll be in every drop of rain I see, every glass of water I drink, every breath. She looked at him, gashes caught in her switches. And when you return? He smiled. I'll ask your grandmother for your hand. The coming morning, Arif left. The Vill faded a little without him. Myra returned to the beachfront, alone now. The charm pressed her heart. Amma grew quieter, her health subtly declining. And the thunderstorm returned, grim and full. The days turned to weeks, the weeks to months. Letters came. Arif wrote frequently, full of love, of plans, of craving. Myra responded faithfully, keeping his words beside her such like prayer globules. She watched the swash swell and the fields green again, but a silent pang grew inside her. Also one day, the letters stopped. 1 week. Also two. Also a month. Myra tried not to horrify. He was busy. Perhaps the post was delayed. Perhaps he'd no time. But deep down, a quiet storm began to rise. The townies asked cautiously, "Have you heard from Arif by?" She smiled and jounced. "He's just busy." But Amu saw through her. "You're staying too hard," Amu said one night. "I'm just holding on," Myra replied. And also came the storm. A cyclone unlike any the Vill had seen in times. The swash overflowed. The wind howled like a grieving widow. Houses collapsed. Trees fell. And Amu, old and fragile, collapsed during the alternate night of the storm. Myra held her through the night, crying, soliciting, refusing to let her go. At dawn, when the winds eventually quieted, the Vill was in remains, and Amu was gone. The jasmine by the window was crushed. The swash was a monster now, wide, angry, impregnable. Myra buried her grandmother in silence. No bone spoke. They knew the depth of her grief. And still, no letter came from Arif. Weeks passed. Myra stopped going to cops. She stopped wearing the charm. She came a shadow, moving, speaking, but distant. The swash, once her friend, had come commodity she couldn't trust. One evening, she stood at the water's edge and rumored to it. You took her. You drown the jasmine. You drown my love. The swash only flowed. That night, she packed a small bag and left for Dhaka. She had no address, just the name of the agency Arif had worked for. She wandered through crowded thoroughfares, asking non-natives, holding a water-stained print of him. Numerous didn't know. Some turned her down. But one kind woman eventually said, "Yes, I flashed back him. He was in the north, but he left the design beforehand." "Left?" Myra's voice broke. "Why?" "I don't know. He said commodity about a family exigency. That was months agone." Myra's heart contended. "Where did he go?" "I don't know. I suppose he returned to your ville?" The woman's words chimed in Myra's cognizance. "He returned to your ville. Why hadn't she seen him? Why hadn't anyone told her?" She took the first machine back. The trip felt endless, her hands gripping the charm she had ant worn in weeks. As the lush herbage of the country began to reappear through the windows, so did her recollections of walks by the swash, the jasmine-scented gloamings, the quiet warmth of his voice. When she reached the ville, the sun was beginning to set, casting a golden shimmer across the waters. And there, standing by the copse, their copse was Arif. He was thinner, his eyes shadowed, but he was real, alive, staying. Mira stood firm for a moment before walking toward him. He turned sluggishly, and when his eyes met hers, they widened with unbelief. "Mira," he rumored, as if hysterical she might evaporate. She didn't speak. The hurt and craving in her heart churned like the swash in flood tide. "Why didn't you find me?" "I came back," he said, stepping near, "right after the storm. I heard about your grandmother. I went to your house, but it was locked. The townies told me you'd gone." "Why didn't you write before that? Why the silence?" He took a deep breath. "I fell ill, a fever. I collapsed at the point. I was rehabilitated in a remote clinic for over 3 weeks. I had no way to communicate anyone. When I recovered, I rushed back then, but I was too late." Myra's eyes welled up. "You could have set up me sooner." "I tried," he said, his voice cracking. "Every day, I went to the swash. I awaited then, allowing perhaps the water would bring you back." Silence stretched between them. The trees swayed. A kingfisher dove into the swash. Also, Mira stepped forward and opened her wing. The charm glinted in the dying light. "I wore this every day until the storm," she rumored. "Until the swash reminded me how fluently it takes effects down." "I didn't mean to be another loss," Arif said, his voice low. "I came back because I couldn't live without you. I no way stopped loving you." Her breath caught. "I'm not asking for remission," he said, "only for an alternate chance. To start again. To stay." Mira looked up at the sky. A single drop of rain fell onto her impertinence. Also another. And another. She smiled through her gashes. "The first drop always tells a verity." He stepped closer. She jounced. "Stay." Arif took her into his arms, holding her as if the world had ended and begun each over again in that moment. Around them, the rain began to fall gently, not as a flood tide, but as a pledge, soft, mending, full of life. In the weeks that followed, the ville began to heal formally more. Mira and Arif rebuilt Amu's Jasmine Theater. They held water classes for children. They visited the swash every evening, not to suffer, but to recognize everything it had taken and given. And one morning, under a sky washed clean by rain, Arif knelt on one knee and held out the charm again. "Mira, Queen of Water," he said with a smile, "will you be my ever?" She laughed, gashes bright in her eyes, and said, "Yes." Times latterly, children in the ville would hear the story of Mira and Arif, the woman who loved water and the man who came with the rain. They would sit by the swash and hear to it flow, and some would swear it rumored their names. Because love, like a drop of water, always finds its way home.